You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, a message from one of our missionaries.
I said Doug and Sherry, they've been with UIM, the United Indian Mission, serving in Canada for, is it 38 years now? So that's a good bit here. And it's always great when we have them. Doug is a wonderful guy. Sherry's a pretty wonderful gal, too. But I say Doug because, sometimes there's just, you sense a little special, bud, that gleam in the eye where you can joke about things and have a little connection there on some things. And, well, we have a little bit of a shared experience on something. We weren't at Moody at the same time, but we had kind of a similar spirit about us when we were at Moody, I think. I've heard some stories about Doug's Moody days, and so anyway, then. So, but it's great to have him here with us. They minister in Canada there to First Nations people, to Native peoples there in Canada. They've been doing so faithfully, and so we're delighted to have them with us here today. So, Doug, why don't you come on up and speak to us then?
Well, it's a privilege to be here, and I really sincerely mean that. I first came to this church when I was 12 years old. So I go way back with this church. And that was like 38 years ago, I guess. Because when I was 12 and a half, I left for the mission field. Not actually. But you'd mentioned that we work with a different culture. And we do. We work with the Wet'suwet'en people up in British Columbia. I'm going to be showing you a few pictures of some of them in just a minute. Boy, I came in, you had that countdown to when the service starts, and I saw that same thing at my brother's church, Randy's church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I told Sherry, I said, if we that's kind of a cool idea, but if we had that at Kaya, it would be a calendar, time is not a real tight thing up there, but anyway, it is good to be here with all of you this morning. And just before I start to share, I'd just like us to pray together again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. And I just pray your blessing on this group of people. Lord, I ask you to make yourself known here. And I pray today that as we look at some of these friends from Morristown, and as we look in your word, that you will just lift your name up and bring glory to yourself. In all of this, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just like to share with you some things that I've been picking up from the book of Titus. And I've been working on memorizing this book. And I did a few years ago and learned so much by doing it. And I would really encourage people here. That's one thing that's really cool about Awana is how they get young people to memorize Scripture. And I just want to challenge you to make that a pattern of your life, to be hungry for God's word and to memorize it. So I just want to share some of Titus with you, and just by telling you something about that book. When Paul starts off in that book, he refers to himself as a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. So that what he's saying is that Paul said that he is writing to these people who are elect, chosen by God, so that their faith would be strengthened, and that happens as they gain knowledge, that they become godly. That's how it happens. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which Paul had been entrusted. And he wrote it to Titus. He calls him my true child in the faith. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. He goes on to say this: this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order, and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So now he's going to say, this is a job. I want you to appoint elders in all these towns where the gospel started. He said, if anyone's above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, which just means they're not open to just hung up on sensual appetites and aren't rebellious. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. I was going to talk about some things he shouldn't be. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled. And I just want to emphasize that self-controlled a second, because in all of these qualifications and all the things you're going to talk to different groups of people in Titus, he brings that up a lot. Self-controlled. It's actually a fruit of the Spirit. And when I think of self-controlled, I oftentimes think of my sister, Laura. Because ever since I was a kid, I can remember seeing Laura in the morning reading her Bible. I'd come out of my bedroom and see her down her bedroom. Even as a little kid, she was probably 11 or 12. And she'd be reading her Bible. And I remember one time somebody asked Laura, how do you do that? Like, every day, you always get up and you read your Bible. How do you do that? Laura said, well, I just tell my leg, get out of bed. I tell the other one, get out of bed and get up and read it. That's self-controlled. Controlling yourself to say, this is valuable, this is worthwhile, which is what God puts in our heart. That's a work of God, that we begin to have a delight in his word and a hunger for him. But then to say to ourselves, go do it. Follow the Lord. Get in his word. Read it. Just get up and do it. That's self-control. It's a characteristic that needs to be a part of every leader in the church. By the way, these things that I'm mentioning here, these are characteristics of a leader in a church, because a leader in a church needs to be someone who tells people what the truth is and lives it out in their life. Because, like we said earlier, the goal is that Christ be formed in you. So therefore, a leader in a church should be the example of what everyone else in the church is looking and saying, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. So he needs to be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers. There's lots of people teaching things that aren't true. Lots of people leading people the wrong way. So the guy that's a leader in the church, the guy that you're picking to lead your church, needs to be someone who knows the word of God. He knows it himself and he lives it. That's what he's saying. That's what you got to do. He says, they're empty talkers and deceivers. He says, especially those of the circumcision party. He said, they must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. And he said, one of the Cretans, because he's on the island of Crete, off the coast of Greece, he said, one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. What if you talked about a group of people like that today? You know, this nationality, they are liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. You say, isn't that some profiling there? But Paul follows it up by saying, he doesn't say, you shouldn't talk that way. No. He said, this testimony is true. It's what they are. But he doesn't say, therefore, give up on them. He says, therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. That's the thing I see about the people we work with, because we have people that say, oh, Indian people, Native people, that's the way they are. That's the way they are. And even if it may be true, they don't stay that way if they come to know Christ and follow him, and they need to be challenged. We all need to be challenged like that. It says, therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, Paul said, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. That's what Paul said about those that they make a claim to Christ, but they don't walk it. They don't know him. They're just talking. It's just talk. But he goes on in chapter 2 to say, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. And then he says, and I'm not going to go through the whole book, so don't get too worried. But he says, older men. And I just wondered, by a raise of hands, do we have any older men in here today? I'm just raising my hand so that you won't feel alone. But okay, so this is for you. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, there it is again, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older men, we are to be those who show what it looks like to walk with Jesus through life, through a lifetime. That you have learned over the course of your life that he can be counted on. So you become sound in your faith. You become self-controlled, dignified, to live in an honorable way. Older women. No, you have to. Our son works on with paramedics in Hazleton. And he came back a week or two before we left. And he was saying, we always ask him, well, Matt, have any calls? He said, oh, yeah, I had a few. I had this one old lady he was talking about. Sherry goes, well, like, how old was she? Yeah. Oh, she's 52. Oh, boy, that was a mistake. And just watching Sherry's reaction, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here. But just in case you ever do become an older woman, you could listen to this. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior. Reverent. To show respect and honor for others. And then it says, not slanderers, which is exactly the opposite of reverent in behavior, to put other people down. Not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, again, self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Now, likewise, urge the younger men. Any younger men in here? There's a few. Urge the younger men. Now listen, get a piece of paper out to write all these things down. Urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Period. That's all they can handle. You just be self-controlled. But seriously, that's important. To say, what am I going to do with my life? And I want to take my life and not just run off after everything, every idea, every impulse that I have, but to say, what do I want to do with my life? I want to be self-controlled. He said, urge them to be that way. And he goes on to tell Titus himself, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants. How many bondservants do we have here? People that work for somebody else. We're going to call that bondservants. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. It says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live upright and godly lives in the present age. And I'm just going to go that far. But I just want to challenge all of us here. As we look at these guys in Morristown, my desire for them is that they would have Christ formed in them. These men and women and kids, that Christ would be formed in them. And that we would have leaders in our church up there that live that out. We have Dwayne Mitchell, Darren, George, myself, others that are have this role as leaders recognizing the church, and that you hear, as you have leaders in this church, that if you're a leader in this church, to challenge you to say your job is to teach the Word of God by your mouth and by your actions. And the job of all of us in here is to become more and more like Christ. It isn't just the leaders that are supposed to do that. The leaders are chosen because they are doing it. And then become examples so that everyone becomes that way. These qualifications are qualifications that should be true of every single Christian. And I just want to leave that challenge with you this morning. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth in it. I thank you for these dear friends of ours back in Morristown and Kaya Fellowship as they're going to meet a little bit later. Lord, that as Darren, who was speaking today, brings your word, that you'll powerfully use him. And I pray for Dan and the leaders in this church, Lord, that you'll powerfully use them to accomplish your purposes here in this place. Thank you. Just for the privilege of being here today. Pray this in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit WLBibleChurch.org.